Well, Renee and I are blessed we got relocated. So, amen. We love you guys, love being here. And we have been blessed being here, really. One of the blessings for us has been to be able to just work alongside these folks here. We love these guys so much. Love the Tomfords and really all you guys. But, yeah, amen. So, Pastor Mike's been sharing last couple weeks about what issue? Anybody remember what we've been talking about last couple weeks? Prayer, yeah. We've been talking about prayer. So we're going to continue doing that today, except we're going to really start to focus on one particular area of prayer. And we're going to take a couple weeks to kind of really take a good look at that. Remember, 2 weeks ago, he shared on the Lord's Prayer. And so we're going to take a look at that again, and then we're going to kind of jump off into a particular area of the Lord's Prayer. So if you look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, we see the Lord teaching us how to pray, okay? This is incredible. This outline, this is really an outline of prayer. So when we're praying for individuals, we know we need to be praying according to God's will, right? We want to be praying his kingdom to come, his will to be done in their lives. We see that. Of course, it starts off with our Father in heaven. I mean, the wonderful reality that God is our Father, that we're family, that we're his children. That is so amazing. That's mind-boggling, you know, the creator of the universe, and he counts us his kids. I mean, that's just incredible. And hallowed be your name. I mean, there's so much power here in this. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And then suddenly we get to this issue, which, you know, if you think about it, like prayer, like the big prayer picture, it can almost at first glance be confusing that he threw this one in here, the thing he talks about here. We realize this is so important to him that he actually takes some time out to comment on it. It's almost as though we could kind of run past this thing if we aren't careful, this part of his prayer. But he wants to comment on it because it's incredibly huge. And, of course, we're dealing with verse 12 where he says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, it's interesting. The next verse, he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That comes right after needing to forgive as we're forgiven. I think one of the biggest temptations we face is to not truly forgive people. I think that's huge. It's really, really big. And that's the biggest temptation, I think, right up there, like in the top tier. But deliver us from evil. And again, that's just a powerful message all in itself, to pray that regularly. I realized I'd been a believer about 20 years, and I realized I hardly ever pray that. And I thought, well, maybe that's part of the reason I deal with a lot of the evil that I deal with, because I'm not praying for deliverance like I should be. But again, let's move on and let's deal with Jesus' commentary about this issue of forgiveness. He says this in verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. I mean, that's kind of scary, really. Now, what does that mean and what does it not mean? Okay, I don't believe it means what I'm about to say, okay? I don't think it means that if I get in an argument with my wife and I'm all huffy and I run out and we haven't reconciled and I haven't forgiven her and I'm just feeling it and I go and I'm driving to the store and I get in a car accident and I die, like I'm going to hell now, okay? I don't think that's what it's talking about. Thank God, right? He's not talking about losing your salvation or something like that. However, he is talking about something incredibly important here. I mean, really, really important. So, so important. He says, literally, if you don't forgive your heavenly Father, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you. I mean, that is so incredible. Why? What is God doing here? Well, what he's doing here is he's saying, listen, we got an issue here. If you don't forgive, there's a problem going on here. In fact, the best way I can get your attention is there's just going to be a break in our relationship. In fact, Pastor Mike mentioned in Matthew 18, this whole parable of the unmerciful servant, right? Remember that? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And the one guy gets forgiven basically a lifetime of debt. I mean, that's like how much money it was. Like, he could barely earn that in a lifetime. That's how much debt he was in. And he gets forgiven all that by the king, right? And then he goes and he chokes the servant who owes him a week's paycheck or something, you know, and totally throws the guy into jail and has no mercy on him. Now, if you look at that, we're going to take a look at that a little bit. Look at what he says in verse 32 to 35 when he gets to the end of that. Again, he repeats this same theme here. He talks about you should, verse 33, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers. That word jailers is the exact same word for tormentors. Unforgiveness is incredibly tormenting. Really is. And it turned you over to the tormentors until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart, not just from your lips, right? Oh, yeah, I forgive him. Yeah, right. Yeah, why do you keep talking about it then, right? I mean, we're going to look at that in a minute. Okay, but this is really, really astonishing that he would say something so strong like that. And yet, if we understand, we got to see this from God's perspective. What is God's perspective? 1 Timothy 2:4 says that he desires that no one should perish, that all should be saved. God is really at work trying to save people and reconcile them to himself. He's all about reconciliation. He's all about forgiveness. And when we say, I ain't doing that, we're actually opposing God's agenda in that person's life that we refuse to forgive. We're actually going against what God wants to do in that individual's life. We're in opposition to him. And God takes that really, really seriously. In fact, he says this in 1 Peter 4:8, the word of God says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. You see, when we fail to forgive, it's really a love deficit. That's really the issue. It's a failure to love God, and it's a failure to love people, and the two go together. Because he says this, he says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. It's not optional. Part of loving someone is forgiving them. It's not optional. He goes on and he talks about in 1 John, he says that God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness, we lie and the truth isn't in us. So this is really, really serious issue. We really have to forgive. Why? Because our fellowship with God, our abiding in Christ is broken down. Yeah, it's broken down. It's like, Now, what did Jesus say about abiding in him? Pastor Mike talked about that too in John 15. We can't do anything without him. We can't do anything without him. So when we fail to forgive, we're failing to abide in him. Now suddenly, we're handicapped. We're handicapped in all sorts of areas. We can't bear good fruit. In fact, we become way more susceptible to all different kinds of temptation. And it just gets really hard to walk this thing out called the Christian life, you know, because we can't do it without him. And God's saying, listen, we got an issue here. So it's not that he doesn't love us. On the contrary, it's because he does love us and he knows we can't do anything without him. He says, I don't know how to get your attention. I got to turn you over to the tormentors. You're just going to have to be miserable till you deal with this issue. Sorry, I don't know how else to get your attention. I got to turn you over to them. It's the only thing I can do. It's not because he doesn't love us, because he absolutely does. But he really wants to connect with us, and he's saying, right now, we're just like on opposing sides of this whole issue. And I'm not changing. You know, I mean, that's the way the Lord is. He's not going to change on this one. I'm really grateful, by the way, because that means he's committed to forgiving me, right? I'm really grateful for that. You know, we should be, you and I, we should all be really grateful that God's really committed to this forgiveness thing. Because if he wasn't, we'd all be in a heap of trouble, right? Really, really grateful for that. But part of what's going on here, part of what happens when we don't forgive, certainly it's a love deficit issue, but there's also this whole issue of not properly really misunderstanding and underestimating the depth of our own sin. Really, that's a big, big part of the issue there, is that. You know, it says in Hebrews 4:13, no creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Totally everything's out in the open. You see, I can kind of hide from Nolan what's going on between the two ears, right? I could be thinking all kinds of rotten things about Nolan. I could be, mumbling under my breath. I could be doing all that stuff. Nolan never hears it. Nolan thinks, hey, everything's cool between Bob and me. Bob's smiling at me. All right, everything's awesome, right? He doesn't know anything about that. But who has been listening to what's going on between my ears? Who saw the entire thing? Right? Now hear it, and it goes in a lot of areas like that, right? Think about the inappropriate things on the internet, right? I don't want to get into the detail of that mess, right? But you know that when we sin against someone, we think, oh, nobody's paying attention. God's watching the whole thing. And here's the thing, you know, that person on the internet, that man or that woman is somebody's daughter, somebody's son. Now, if somebody was doing that sort of thing with my daughter, I'd be pretty upset about it. I think you would be too, right? It'd kind of bug you, wouldn't it? Like big time, you know, like really big time. Well, here's the thing. God says in the Word of God, we're told, Acts 17:28, Paul says, we're all his offspring. He's saying this to people who aren't even believers. In fact, he's quoting a pagan poet to make the point. You see, nobody would be on the planet were it not for God. In one sense, I'm not saying everybody's going to heaven. That's a bunch of nonsense, right? God's not going to force people who hate him to go there forever, okay? Thank God, right? but the reality is nobody would be on the planet without it being the will of God. We're all his offspring. Everyone in that sense is a child of God. Everybody is. That's his child. That's God's child that we are sinning against between these two ears of ours. We're sinning against God's child, his daughter, his son, one that he created in his own image. Do you think God's bothered by that? Well, if it would bother you for someone to do that to your kids, and we don't love nearly as deeply as he does, oh, I think he's very, very offended by it. Now, here's the thing. He's been seeing this and taking note of this and watching this for our entire life, 24/7. Wow. Now, I'm really grateful that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all those sins of mine, all the ones that took place just between here. I'm really glad. Really, really glad. You should be too. I mean, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, right? But then we get somebody out here who sins against us, right, does something, and I don't want to downplay it. It could be really bad stuff, right? But in the big, long, eternal scheme of things, I mean, what's gone on between our two ears? You know, well, adultery, murder, theft, I mean, stealing, greed. I mean, you know, go on and on and on, right? That's gone on in here. God's seen the whole thing, right, for our entire lives. That's the issue, see? So if we don't forgive someone, we're almost saying we're really not really getting it here as to how depth our own the depth of our own debt that we owe to God and the mercy that we've been shown, really. I mean, it's huge, the mercy we've been shown. Jesus really illustrated this powerfully, this whole issue of this love deficit. And we won't love him if we don't realize how deeply we've been forgiven by him. It'll really help us to love him if we realize the sinner that we are, right? I remember when the Lord saved me, God really hit me with a sledgehammer. I remember I was lying on my bed one day, and it was several weeks before I gave my life to Christ, and I was thinking about my day, and I was thinking, well, see, today called my sister fat, got mad at my dad when he asked me to cut the lawn. I was a teenager, you know. Swore at the dog, you know. I mean, I was just thinking all this stuff, you know, that I did, and I could only come up with about three sins, you know. And I, yeah, it wasn't too bad of a day today, but then I thought, I've had some much worse days than this. And then I thought, oh, this has been going on. At the time I was 15, and I'm going, boy, probably at least for the past 10 years I've been doing this. Suddenly I'm going, I'm a sinner. Man, I am a sinner. Now, within a few weeks, I heard and I understood the gospel, and Jesus saved me. But I've never forgotten that, his salvation. We don't ever want to forget what he's done for us. It'll help us to love him and love people, really will. Now, Jesus really illustrates this point in the Gospel of Luke. There's a situation there that's reported there. Jesus gets invited to eat at a Pharisee's house. So he goes over to this Pharisee's house. It's in Luke chapter 7. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it for sake of time. Luke 7, 36 through 50. And basically, Jesus gets invited to this Pharisee's house, and they're hanging out. They start to eat dinner. In walks this woman. The scripture calls her a sinner. Doesn't say what kind, and I think it's intentional. Doesn't matter, does it? She's a sinner. She's a sinner. In she comes. She knows she's a sinner. She knows she's in big trouble. She knows that she is a wreck. She's a train wreck. And she sees this man who's compassionate, Jesus. Maybe she had just listened to his teaching. Who knows? She goes, this man, this is a man. He has the power to forgive me. I know he does. He's so compassionate. I don't deserve him. I don't deserve his forgiveness. And she brings in her alabaster jar, and she begins to weep, and she's thinking about her sin, and she's just, how could he love me in spite of this? And she just begins to weep on his feet, and she weeps on his feet, and she takes out an alabaster jar. She's pouring oil on it. She's wiping his feet with her tears. She's kissing his feet. The Pharisee's standing back and going, wow, if this guy was a prophet, he'd know what kind of a sinner she is. Man, you know. And Jesus, of course, does know what's going on. And he says, Simon, I got something to say with you. That's the Pharisee's name. He goes, listen, there was once these two guys, they owed this master of theirs a big debt. One of them owed him, I'll put it in today's terms, about $90,000. The other one owed about $9,000. He decided he'd forgive both their debts. Which one do you think loved him more? He said, well, I suppose the one who got forgiven the $90,000. He goes, yeah. Yeah, that's right. You see this woman here? See, I came in here, and you didn't even greet me with a kiss. Now, in the Middle East, you always greet someone with a kiss. Even if you don't like them, you do that. You do. I'm serious. And he didn't even do that. He says, you didn't greet me with a kiss. He says, she's been kissing me since the time she got in here. You know, you didn't kiss me. You know, you didn't get my feet washed. You know, I see you got a slave over there. You didn't even tell the guy to come over and wash my feet. That's rude too, you know? So, because you didn't do that. He said, you know, she's been washing my feet with her tears. You didn't give me oil to freshen up with. She's been pouring it all over my feet here. You know, she's been doing this. You know, her sins, which are many, in other words, it's even worse than you think. It's really bad. Many. They're all forgiven. They're all forgiven. You know, she loved much. And what did he do? He turned to her and he said, go, your faith has saved you. I love that. Your faith has saved you, not your good works, not the fact you did what you did here. No, your faith has saved you. Amen. And so he just shows her this tremendous amount of mercy, see? And yet we, when we fail to forgive, when we look at that person and we go, I don't know, I'm better than that one, you know? That's what happens. We get offended. We think, well, I would have never done that. And God says, oh, yeah, I've been watching what's been going on in here for your whole life. Kind of know better. Maybe you didn't have the guts to go through with it like that person did, but I know what's been going on inside here. right? See, he knows about that stuff. Now, the Pharisee didn't get it. She did. She said, it's been bad between here, and it's been bad out here. It's just been really bad, and I need your mercy, please. Have mercy on me. And that's why she was really saved. But really, that illustrates the issue with the love deficit when we fail to live. It's our failure to recognize our own sin and our need for a Savior. The fact that he really does love us and he really has forgiven us. A debt we could never pay. We could never pay it. Ken Sandy put it this way. He said, actually, extending forgiveness, it's actually an opportunity to serve other people. It's actually an opportunity to serve others. It really is. Dealing properly with sin, whether our own or that of another person, is actually a tremendous opportunity to advance the kingdom of God, to advance the gospel. It really demonstrates the gospel like nothing else can, really. Forgiveness is really, really powerful outside of the cross itself, really. But what about this forgiveness from our heart? You know, is it always possible? And what does true forgiveness look like? I mean, is it really, does God really expect us to forgive? I mean, really? I mean, doesn't he know, like, how bad it really, I mean, it was really bad. You know, it was worse than what you dealt with, right? That's what we like to think. I know nobody else ever dealt with what I had to deal with, right? We have a tendency to think that way, right? I'll just share a true story. April 18th, 2008, this brother Tillman, German brother, in the city of Malatya, Turkey, working for a Christian publishing house, and went to go to work. Kissed his two kids in the morning and his wife, told him he loved them, and went off to work. As he went off to work, he went to go meet two Turkish brothers who were working with him in the Christian publishing house. They were beginning to do some evangelism there, trying to plant a church there in Malatya. And there were five guys that were coming, pretending to be seekers, right? They suspected they might have other agendas, but they said, you know, the word of God's the word of God. We're going to love these guys and share the gospel with them. Well, that morning, those five individuals decided they were going to tie them up and torture them to death. And they did that over a period of hours. Tortured. Horrible. Horrible, horrible. I read the reports on what happened. It was really bad. Trust me. They asked her afterwards. Now, of course, the news gets back to her. It turns out the one Turkish brother was married to a believer as well, and he also had the other guy had a gal that he was engaged to who was a believer. And the news media, Turkish news media, got a hold of this, got back to these people, and said to them, you must hate these men. You must just want them, you know, you just must absolutely hate them. And this woman said, this German gal, she goes, I don't hate them. Why would I hate them? Jesus forgave me of my sins, and I forgive them too. She says, I forgive them. She did. She forgave them. In fact, she didn't even leave the city. She stayed there for years, several years. Stayed on another 4 or 5 years. They actually ended up, another foreign family was able to come to that city because she stayed there. Eventually planted a church there. Eric and Jen Trelease visited about once a month. They're about an hour from there in El Azu. They go to that church now. The church got planted in that city. And they forgive. And the Turkish woman, she forgave. The Turkish news media, Muslim newspapers, editorial page lit up. I mean, there were people writing. This was on national TV in Turkey, her forgiveness of these guys, and the Turkish woman too. They said about this German woman, they said, she did more missionary work in that interview than in 1,000 years in Turkey. And these are Muslims writing this. There were Muslims writing and saying, I don't know what a Christian is, but I'm one. I mean, they just were so powerfully impacted by this woman's forgiveness. That didn't happen overnight. That happened way back when she got saved, really, because she understood what Jesus had done for her. That's why she was able to forgive these guys. See, she had been, I'm sure, doing that her good chunk of her Christian life, because you can't do that without the power of God. You can't do that without abiding in Christ. She was abiding in Christ. That's why she was able to do it. That's why she had the power to be able to forgive these people. How do we know whether or not we've actually forgiven someone? Well, the Word of God gives us really clear instruction. It says in Ephesians 4:32, forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's really powerful. Do you ever think about that? How did Jesus forgive me? I love to think about that. How did he do it? So I think about him on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I also think about the resurrection and what happened afterwards and what didn't happen afterwards. Did you know Jesus, all his followers, the guys who said they loved him, all those guys, like the good people in his life, you know, all those people turned their back on him, pretended they didn't know him, got betrayed by one of them. I mean, this is what these people did to him. They ran at his moment of greatest need. They wouldn't even pray with him. He's about ready to get arrested. They couldn't even stay up to pray with him. I mean, the offense is like off the charts here, really. I'm thinking, boy, would I be offended. You know, I mean, I'm like, can you imagine that? And what does Jesus say to him after he rises again from the dead about their massive failure? Nothing. Why? Because he forgave them already. They were forgiven. See, it's really the, I can forgive the guy who hates me and is pointing the machine gun at me sometimes more easily than I can my brother or sister, right? Jesus did both. Jesus did both. He did them both, and he did them really well. You see, when I forgive as Christ has forgiven me, I'm not going to bring up the incident again and again. I'm not going to bring it up to use it as ammo against my brother or my sister. I'm not going to use it. Just not going to bring it up. See, if I've forgiven him, it's over with. It's finished. Because that's how Jesus forgives. I'm really glad he forgives like that, aren't you? I am so glad that he forgives us that way. I'm going, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you got, you know, I mean, he doesn't go, you know, hey, I forgive you, RJ. I forgave RJ, but man, did he really give it to me. Man, I can remember back about 10 years ago, this guy, man, oh, by the way, I've forgiven him, but oh, you wouldn't believe what he did to me. You know, I mean, that's not the way Jesus forgives, right? He doesn't do that, and I'm really glad. He doesn't talk about others about the incident. He doesn't repeat our past incidents to other people. He doesn't go, you know, you guys love Pastor Mike, but man, I got some dirt on this guy you wouldn't believe. Let me tell you about, you know, he doesn't do that kind of thing. Never repeats issues in the past, right? Totally, it's gone. The other thing that I do, if I've forgiven someone as Christ has forgiven me, is I stop dwelling on the incident. I don't keep repeating that thing in my mind over and over again. Now, the reality is, if you're like me, you've got brain cells and a memory, right? And so we tend to remember stuff, right? Now, I can remember, I'll just share, you know, what do I do if I'm wounded again by the memory of that incident? Then what do I do about that? Because this is where people lose it. Most of us, if you've been a Christian for more than a year or two, you kind of know, you kind of heard this thing about forgiveness. Maybe you need a reminder every now and then. Maybe that's what today is. Who knows? But, you know, you kind of know, okay, I'm supposed to do that. But what I found a lot of times is I found a lot of people say, well, I forgave them, and then they do all the stuff I just talked about. Yeah, I forgave him, but boy, was that really painful. Man, did he really blah, blah, blah. Did he blah, 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 you know? And I'm like, that doesn't sound like how Jesus forgives. And maybe they really did forgive. But here's what happens. I'll share a true story with you. Maybe I shared this before. I can't remember, but forgive me if I did. Well, anyways. Still good, right? Still works, Mike? Thanks. I got permission to share it again. We were in Turkey. It's because God used it to cement this in my heart. We were in Turkey back in the mid-90s, and we're part of a church planting team in that city. And my wife, you know, Renee, sorry, everybody knows Renee, right? She was out running one day and she injured herself. Now, it seemed like, you know, she was limping around. It was like, okay, she'll get over this. She'll get past it. Well, not only did she not get over it and not get past it, but she got to the, she was in so much pain, she could barely even walk. It was not good. We went to the Turkish doctor once, twice, three times, kept going back, kept trying to get different medications. Nothing was working. She was going from bad to worse. Praying for her. This is going on for a couple months. I mean, this is really a challenge. And our team's praying for her. We're praying. We're just racking our brains trying to figure out what to do. Finally, the last time we had visited the Turkish doctor, he said, you know, I told him, I said, you know, my brother offered to pay our plane tickets to come back to America, and my parents said we can live with them and until we get this taken care of so that, you know, she could get treatment back in the States. What do you think about that? And he goes, oh, absolutely. He says, you know, this could be cancer. You really ought to do that. So I thought, well, that's what the doctor says, and cancer, yeah, that doesn't sound too good. So we better take care of this. So we were like, all right, we're going to do this. So we went ahead, I called up our team leader, said, hey, you know, we've been talking with my brother the whole nine yards. I said, we're going to be going back to the States so that she can get treatment, and, you know, this might be cancer, blah, blah, blah. First thing out of his mouth was, you can't do that. I just went, excuse me? Watch me. What do you mean I can't do that? He goes, well, you know, we have protocol. You got to go through, you got to talk to the field leader first. You got to get permission from him. And we really need your work here. We really need what you're doing here. You know, she could maybe go to Germany, or she could maybe do, you know, you could stay behind. And he's going on and on, and I'm just going, am I hearing this? Does this, like, I mean, I was so offended, really offended, really hurt, felt unloved, uncared for. I mean, I was hurt. And of course, Renee hears conversations, it's going south, you know. I wasn't real nice. And so she found out afterwards, you know, the conversation, you know, we finished the conversation on not a great note. And we were both hurt. I mean, we were really offended. We were really, really hurt and really wounded. And I'm just in torment. I wonder why. Really, just mentally, just tormented. And I thought, all right, what am I going to do? And I felt the Lord speak to me really clearly in my thoughts. And he said, you will forgive your brother. I said, Lord, that was so insane. He said, you will forgive your brother. Yes, sir, I'll forgive him. But God, I mean, so insensitive. I mean, how do, you know, I just totally disagree with his whole approach and everything. He says, it doesn't matter. You will forgive your brother. I said, okay, Lord, I'll forgive him. Help me to forgive him. So, and the Lord showed me why he said the things he said. I'm not going to get into the details of that. It's just too much to get into. But he helped me to understand where the guy was coming from and said, this is why he's doing it. I said, well, Lord, I disagree with that. And he said, that's all right. Doesn't matter. Just want you to understand. I said, okay. And by the way, he really does love me. He really does. I said, I think he does. I think he really does love you. And I thought, okay, I got to forgive him. So next morning I call him and I said, bro, we need to get together. He goes, yeah, I know we need to get together. And so I get together with him and I said, you know, the Lord showed me last night you were trying to do, you know, why you talked the way you did, you know. And I said, you know, I understand what you're doing. I didn't agree with your approach, but I do understand where you're coming from. I said, but you know what? The way I talked to you was just out of line. I see you're my team leader, and I totally disrespected you, and I was just really not kind in what I said, and would you please forgive me for that? And he said, I forgive you. And then he said, will you forgive me? I was, you know, I was not real kind in some of the stuff I said. And I said, yeah, I forgive you. And we forgave each other. And, you know, I felt really good. It felt really great for about 2.5 hours. And then I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe he talked about that. I mean, doesn't he understand, like, what cancer is? I mean, doesn't he get that? Like, maybe is his English so bad he doesn't get that? I mean, I was just, I'm enraged all over again. So what do I got to do? Immediately, scripture came to mind. Jesus said, you know, Peter actually asked Jesus, he thought, I'm going to be a hero about this forgiveness thing. Lord, if my brother, how many times do I got to forgive him in a day? Up to 7 times? The Lord says, I tell you the truth, it's 70 times 7. Try 490 for size. And suddenly the Lord spoke to me and he said, Bob, as many times as you're offended by the memory of this thing, you need to forgive him all over again. Forgive him all over again. And I was like, yes, sir, okay. What else do I do? The Lord said, I want you to go on the offensive. So what do you mean go on the offensive? And he took me to this scripture. We'll take a look at it. It's in Luke chapter 6. I really recommend this. Jesus is really smart. He really knows how to deal with this. This is what he says in Luke chapter 6, verse 27. And next week we're going to get into this in greater depth. But he says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you or mistreat you. I felt mistreated. I said, Lord, he's not my enemy. He says, it doesn't matter. It works. I'm like, oh, okay. See, a lot of times we make the mistake of taking all these love your enemy scriptures and we think about, you know, the guy with the machine gun, you know. If you don't deny Jesus, I'm going to blow your head off. All right, that's the guy, right? Well, it's actually, if we think about it in those terms, it totally becomes irrelevant to our life, and it's not meant to be irrelevant to our life. It's meant to affect those who curse you. Might even live in the same house, just saying. Those who mistreat you, okay? All right? Those who hate you. Well, that's my family member. They don't hate me, but they sure kind of sound that way right now, right? I mean, see, the bottom line is it becomes active whenever the action is going on. That's enemy action. Okay, don't think about, you know, the guy who's going to jail. You know, don't think about that guy. Think about, you know, the person who's abusing you right now, treating you the way you feel you shouldn't deserve to be treated, right? That person, that's the one. So the Lord said, you pray for this guy. You do good to him and you bless him. How do you bless someone who curses you? All it means is you use your mouth to help that person. Okay, you use your mouth to try to help that person. Whether you're talking about them behind their back or in front of them. You're using your mouth to try to help them. So that's how you're blessing them. It's a blessing to them because you're trying to help them. That's how you bless those who are cursing you. You try to help them out with your mouth. And then you do good to them, to those who hate you. And you pray for those who abuse you. So I began to do that, and I did that. And some days I had to do it 12, 15, 18 times, literally. I mean, that's how deeply hurt I was by this. And I had to just keep doing that and praying through. And so what I would do is I'd forgive them, and then I would start praying for them. I'd go on the offensive. See, what the real thing is here, the real enemy is not my brother, my team leader. The real enemy is Satan behind here trying to upset my relationship with God. Because if he can get me not forgiving my brother, now suddenly I'm out of fellowship with God, and I'm totally ineffective in working in his kingdom. I've just been like sidelined, basically. Okay, yeah, I know God, yeah, sure he can use, you know, a donkey, right? He can. Sometimes he uses us even when we're in that condition. But generally speaking, it's really tampering with my relationship with God and a big time. And so that's who's really behind this whole thing. And so what I do is when I submit to God in his ways and say, I'm going to do the forgiveness thing because that's what he wants me to do. I'm going to submit to him. And I'm going to resist the temptation to not forgive. I'm going to resist the evil one who wants me to come embittered at this person. I'm going to resist him. And what starts to happen, you resist him by going on the offensive. You forgive the person. You start doing good for them. You start using your mouth to help them. And specifically, you pray for them. That's one way you can use your mouth to help them. You can start praying for them. So I'm praying for him. Lord, bless my brother. Lord, I pray that you would work in his heart. I pray that you would strengthen his relationship with his wife. Bless his children. Father, give him wisdom in dealing with those kids. He needs it. But, you know, I mean, Lord, just, I'm sorry, it just came out. But, you know, Lord, really help him. Just really anoint him. Really use it. You know, I mean, we all need it, by the way. We all do. But I just began to pray. And I said, Lord, make him a sensitive, compassionate, merciful man. Just cause that to increase in his life. I really started to pray that for him regularly. That was a big one that I was praying a lot. Make him more compassionate. Make him more merciful. Make him just kinder. Lord, just help him to grow in this. So anyways, fast forward. We did end up going back to the States for a couple weeks. Renee gets completely healed. Thank you, Jesus. Completely. Wasn't cancer. Hallelujah. She is completely better in about 6 weeks' time. That's a whole other story. But anyways, so we come back to Turkey. But about 6 months later, we had to leave the country for another reason. We're going to leave our team. We had to leave the country. This time for 10 years, really, but outside of short-term trips. But anyways, the last meeting, our last team meeting, we're there. This brother's there. He gets up at the end of the meeting, and he says, hey, could you guys just come on up, just pray for me? We're like, sure. What do you want prayer for? Now, probably for a good, it'd probably been a month since I had had to do this whole thing in my thinking. Forgive again, pray, do all that stuff. Probably been at least a month or two. Because I'd really, as time went on, the interesting thing was, is the problem surfaced less and less and less in my thinking. And I'll just be honest with you, I love this man to this day. I really do. I love this guy. I love this brother. And I've seen him a number of times since then. And we get together. And when we get together, it's great. We have a great time of fellowship. I really love this man. And but anyways, so I'm like, all right, what do we pray for? He says, listen, what I need prayer for, he says, I feel like God has been speaking to me for several months now that I just need to increase in being a more compassionate, kind, and merciful leader. I just need to be better at it. Can you guys pray for me about that? I'm thinking to myself, wow. I'll just be honest with you. I was just trying to survive, really. Just trying to survive. But God actually used those prayers. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God is so good. And the cool thing is after we came back, I met Derek Lewandowski. We ended up taking, actually ended up being more than one concert outreach trip, evangelistic trip into Turkey. And and you met this brother I'm talking about. And so we ended up, relationships got built on that trip. They ended up eventually going to Kazakhstan. And leading, I mean, it was like over 500 people came to Christ. I mean, all this good stuff happened. I was reflecting back on it, you know, several years ago, and I was like, wow, if our relationship had gotten severed, oh my goodness. You know, a lot of these connections wouldn't have happened, you know. We don't know. We just don't know the nth of it, do we? I mean, we think it's just between us and this person that we're not forgiving. But actually, the ramifications could be far bigger, and we just have no idea. So we really want to forgive, and we really do. And this is big. This is important for the. This is really on God's agenda, big time. So, bottom line is, we want to forgive, and we want to forgive the way He does. We don't want to allow this incident to stand between us or hinder that personal relationship. I want to deal with a couple other issues here. I'll deal with one since we have time, and then there are some other things that I do want to get into, but we'll get into this next week. There's one thing that often frequently bothers people, and it's the idea about justice. We feel like, where's the justice? They deserve the punishment. Well, sure, they deserve it. Yeah, they do. So did you, by the way, right? I mean, that's part of what we have to kind of think back about. That's one way to help us. But there's another way to help us. Take a look at this in Romans. Because now in that case, my brother and I reconciled. We reconciled. It doesn't always happen that way. We forgive, and sometimes the other person ain't interested, right? They just aren't interested. Now, we're going to get into that because people typically will say, I tried the forgiveness thing, it didn't work. What they mean is, that person didn't respond to me the way I wanted them to or was hoping they would. That's totally wrong thinking, and we're going to look at that next week. I don't have time to get into that this week, but we are going to look at that next week. But there is this other issue that I do want to take a look at about justice, and let's look at that here in Romans chapter 12. We get to verse 17, Paul says this. He's talking about living in harmony with one another. In verse 17, he's talking about loving, being genuine in our love. Verse 17, he says this, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. In other words, your job is to forgive people, right? That's your job, to live peaceably, to be open to reconciliation, whether it happens or not, as much as it depends on you, right? Live peaceably with all. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. See, the temptation is we withhold the forgiveness in an attempt to punish that person. What we're doing is we're trying to take vengeance. Paul says, don't do that. Don't do that. But look at what he says. Never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Is God going to forget about it? Well, absolutely not. You forgave him, as you ought to. That doesn't mean he's totally off the hook. If he doesn't repent and get right with Christ, he's in a heap of trouble for the sin he did to you. Really, he is. See, the bottom line is we don't have shoulders broad enough and wide enough to deal with vengeance. We do it really poorly. We're either too cruel or we're too lenient. We just don't get it right. So God says, listen, don't even try. Leave it to me. I'll take care of it. Now, he does talk about governing authorities right after this and how they're there sent to punish evildoers. You know, so if some guy's beating the tar out of his wife, just call the cops, all right? That's all. Let the civil authorities deal with it, right? That's what they're there for. That doesn't mean we can't forgive the man. Does mean maybe he needs to go to jail, right? But but we can forgive that person. We don't have to take vengeance on that individual, and we shouldn't. God will remember. God won't forget about it. And God is so just. Nobody gets away with anything. Really, nobody gets away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything. So many times I hear people, you know, saying, oh, but the guy's, you know, justice didn't happen. He died without getting punished for the whatever the... Are you kidding? Justice is coming. There's this thing called Judgment Day, right? God won't forget, and God will give him exactly what he deserves. I mean to a T, like perfectly exactly what is deserved. We don't ever have to be concerned about that. What he says is this, on the contrary, your job is, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Hey, you'll just freak out your enemy. You want to freak out your enemy? Be really kind to him. Just freak him right out. They go, ugh, I don't get it. Maybe you'll win a friend. Maybe you'll win a convert. You never know. It's happened. They might find the mercy you did. They just might. And become your friends. Wouldn't that be cool? On the other hand, if they don't, God will take care of it. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how we deal with bad people. We overcome them with good. That's how we do it. And we're going to take a look at that in greater depth at the issue of reconciliation, but also at this issue of how we deal with ongoing conflict and really difficult people. So we're going to be looking at that next week. Jesus is incredibly smart. He's talked about this. I'm so glad, aren't you? I mean, it's in his word how to deal with this stuff. And in the meantime, our job is to be merciful to people and to forgive people, even as we were forgiven. So Father, we just ask that you would help us to do that. You would help us to walk this out. Help us to walk out the forgiveness that you've called us to walk out. Right now, Father, we just, people that you're bringing to our mind, to our memory, Father, we just say right now, in the name of Jesus, we forgive them. Yes. We forgive them. Father, have mercy on them. Open their eyes. Bring them to repentance, Lord God. Help them to get saved when they need to get saved. Father, help them to repent regardless whether they're saved or not. Father, help them to just repent and walk with you the way you want them to. Father, we just pray, have mercy on these people. We forgive them, Father, and we ask it, Lord. And we say in Jesus' name, amen.